manifest himself to us. But if we don't leave here with knowledge, my Bible said that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's that simple. Isn't that simplistic? If you want to boil it down to defeat in the Christian life or covenant people's life, it's lack of knowledge. Can you say amen? And it's lack of knowledge because we don't choose to really get deeper into the things of God, and we don't treat the holy things with due reverence. Amen? And this is a holy time. How many know Palm Sunday is a holy day? This is a holy week. I'm going to work all week long, but I know that every day I want to get up with a sense of the significance of what all of this means and what it's leading up to. How many want to grasp these things? Something you hold in your heart. Amen. Well, I counsel people all the time that have different needs in their life. And one of the greatest needs is to be under the Word of God and get a handle on what God has done through Jesus Christ for them. I believe every need in every life can be addressed at the foot of the cross. You didn't hear me. It's that simple. I really believe if we understand and appreciate what Jesus did for us at Calvary, it will melt our hearts. And I believe if we bow before Him with melted hearts, He can mold our hearts. Can you say amen? How many know God can mold melted hearts? Amen? A humble and contrite spirit, what's He say about that? You approach Him. See, we've just used the faith approach. Faith is the master key that opens every lock on every door. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said that God, a humble and contrite spirit, God will in no wise, anybody that comes to Him in that meltedness, that brokenness, He will in no wise ever turn away. There's no way that He would not receive you and welcome you and minister to you according to the needs of your life. Can you say amen? And the place where our hearts are melted is at the foot of the cross. That's where the first love began. That's where the first love is rekindled. Remember the church that lost the first love, the church of Ephesus that had everything so right except that passionate love for Jesus had been lost? And Jesus said, because that's missing, you're going to lose your influence because you're going to do all the right things, say all the right things, but you're not going to say it with the true conviction of a passionate heart, and people are going to see through it, and you're going to become ineffective. Holy Spirit's going to be grieved when you come together and sing songs from your head that doesn't come from your heart. Can you say amen? There's something wrong. How many know there's something wrong? How many know man looks on what? The presentation, whatever praise presentation we want to give. And it may look great, but God looks past all of their presentations, and He looks upon our heart. God looks past Mike's playing. And when He hits everything just right, God looks right past that and looks at his heart. And if his heart isn't offering a praise unto the Lord, what he's doing on the keyboard, God doesn't receive it. On the other hand, he might hit the wrong key or start a song in the wrong key, but in his heart he says, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I want to make a joyful noise unto God. Amen. And God's going to reward him for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible said to play skillfully upon the instrument. Amen. I can sometimes sing okay. Sometimes I can't hit the high notes. I used my voice for all these years for talking, preaching, and they used to call me Thunder Lips. That was my Indian name at church, because yes, who coined that phrase? I think Kim and Dale had something to do with that. At least we'll blame them. Terry's the one that really brought it, you know, into the marketplace, but where everyone could use it. But I want to teach and preach the things that are holy. I want to get back the grasp on the holy. This is not just any other day that we're here today. This is a day that begins a holy week. This is Palm Sunday. And it's a day to be reverenced, and it's a day to start us into a week not only of feeling this wonderful joy of the love of God expressed through the cross, but it's a day that starts a rejoicing. Actually, this is a rehearsing for a Palm Sunday or a palm service of the waving of the palms of victory that's going to take place in heaven, and all of God's saints are going to be involved in that. Amen. And this Palm Sunday, see, we're talking today about Palm Sunday past and then Palm Sunday present and Palm Sunday that's going to be celebrated in that eternal Sabbath to come. Can you say amen? It's exciting to me, amen, to understand what these things mean and to grasp them. I went through years of Pentecostal church services where I didn't get a handle on these things. And it's like I made a discovery. Lord, we've missed some things because we thought the churches, they put an emphasis on these things. We just come in and, you know, open your mouth and God will fill it. So Palm Sunday could be just Lord knows what would happen on Palm Sunday. It may not have anything to do with Palm Sunday. Amen? I've turned on Christian broadcast on Resurrection Sunday and not heard a lot about the resurrection. I've turned on Christian broadcast on Christmas expecting to hear about, you know, God's gift and salvation and the coming of Jesus into this world. Not just the baby in a manger, but the God giving his only begotten Son. For unto us a son, a child is born, a son is given. And when it says given, it means he was given to us to take our place on the cross. He was given up to die. He came here for that purpose. And somehow or another, when I turn on a Christian station with a Christian organization and a major evangelist, and they're singing chestnuts roasting or an open fire, somehow I just, my soul is grieved. I'm saying, you know, we got that in the mall. We got that on all the secular channels. I had to turn one time trying to get inspiration at Christmas. I had to go over to CMT, Country Music Channel. And hear a country music singer singing about Jesus. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, Lord. Everywhere I go, somebody talking about Jesus. I thought, I'm going to park right here as long as they keep singing like that. Can you say amen? As long as they're not singing about their old hound dog and their broke down pickup truck and she thinks my tractor is sexy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But when they start singing about Jesus, I don't care what channel it's on. My ears perk up and my heart begins to rejoice. Can you say amen? Sometimes we just don't get it. These are holy days. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the world celebrate the world's holiday. Let the church be centered on the holiness of God, the graciousness of God, the goodness of God on these most holy occasions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, how many want to practice up for heaven? Get ready for heaven. Palm Sunday is an opportunity to get practiced up for things to come. Turn with me to Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. The book of Zechariah in the Old Covenant. Zechariah, it'll be under the minor prophets. So go past Isaiah and go past Jeremiah and go past Lamentations and get into all the what they call the minor prophets. But this is a major prophecy from a minor prophet. Zechariah, not Zephaniah, but Zechariah. Chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. And I want to do a little bit of teaching today. And so just bear with me as I look at some of these scriptures that we're going to share this morning. Zechariah 9, verse 9 and 10. Begins with something everybody needs to learn to do. The New Testament is really strong on this issue of this prophecy. If you understand what this prophecy means, then you have a reason to rejoice no matter what the immediate circumstance of your life is. That's why Paul said, if you get a handle on these great things that God has done and is going to do for us in the future, you need to rejoice always. And he knew that we wouldn't get it unless he reiterated it. He said, and again I say, rejoice. David said, I will rejoice in the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He had to know, amen, that no matter what his immediate circumstance was, amen, weeping lasts but for a night, but what happens? What has God got on the agenda? No matter what hits us, if we trust him through it and give him the praise and honor that's due him, what's going to happen? Amen, that night has to give way to morning sooner or later. And what happens when the morning comes? Joy cometh in the morning. Everybody say, weeping lasts or endureth but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? So this begins with something we all need to do because we're not real good at rejoicing in the Lord at all times. And if we don't, that means we're still governed by our circumstances and our emotional response to them. Everybody say our emotions. Boy, I'm a I'm a Pentecostal from head to foot. Amen. I was born into this thing in the fire of Pentecostal conviction. The power of the Holy Ghost convicted me, and I was filled with the mighty Holy Spirit, and I thrived on the presence of God. Amen. I'm serious. I thrived on the presence of God. And when I'm in the presence of God and God's blessings are apparent in my life, honey, I know how to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How do you know you're exceedingly glad? So you do things that's beside yourself sometimes. Amen. Some people you can't hardly tell that they're exceedingly glad. Amen. They keep it well hidden. David danced before the Lord with all of his might because he was exceedingly glad. Can you say amen? When you get exceedingly glad, you do unusual things. I used to watch Let's Make a Deal. I'll date myself back in, I don't know, 70s, I guess it was, with the Monty. You don't remember him, do you? Monty Hall. Game Show Channel. He got the Game Show Channel. Yeah, he's retro and right now. Amen. It was a neat show. I used to, you know, pick the box. You know, pick box number 3. You get involved with these people. And no one, without exception, was taken back when someone, amen, they opened the box and it had the key to a new car or something like that. It was some huge prize. And when that person went bonkers over that. But see, they didn't just go bonkers over new cars. They went bonkers over Maytag washers. Can you say amen? Come on, I've seen women give him a kiss and jump straight up and down because there was a Maytag washer and dryer in box number 2. Amen. And they needed a washer and dryer and they were going to get one. Let's Make a Deal the same way when people win the big deal or any deal for that matter. I see them just jump straight up and down. I see football fans that get beside themselves with exceeding joy. Amen. Sometimes they celebrate and turn cars over. I don't want my car parked where a bunch of crazed fans are coming out of a tournament that their team won. Because they get so exuberant, they just go nuts. Get a little bit happy in church, they're going to label you holy roller. They're going to say that you're overly emotional. And yet the Bible speaks of rejoicing and being exceedingly glad. Can you say amen? When Israel rejoiced in their God at their feast, no one could hold a candle to them, no matter what they celebrated, their false gods or the rain in its season or a bumper crop, no matter what they had to celebrate, a wedding, no one literally, historically, and biblically, amen, celebrated like the Jews celebrated their great God and His covenant with them. Hallelujah. So rejoicing is throughout your Bible. We need to, if Billy Graham is right, and I believe he is, that this world is just a dressing room for heaven. This is where we're getting prepared for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, according to Doug E. Doug. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe that today? Amen. He's preparing not only a place for us, but a people for the place. Then you say, well, part of the preparation, you better get on your shouting shoes. If you got a problem with noise down here, you're going to have to get earplugs when you get up there. Can you say amen? Heaven is a noisy place. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they thought he was going to the throne. Their rejoicing was short-lived. You know, all the joy we're going to talk about on the short term was short-lived. They didn't see past the cross. They couldn't see past the cross. We understand, and they understood later on, that this prophecy about this lowly king, this donkey king, riding on the foal of an ass into Jerusalem, amen, he was coming to make peace with God, to give himself a sacrifice, not overthrow Caesar's Rome and lead a rebellion and be seated as the grand, great, mighty, conquering king of a natural domain. Amen. But he became a king on a higher level, praise God. Can you say amen? So this is important prophecy here. Amen. So many people looking for God's blessings on the short term, no wonder they can't rejoice. They'll never be able to rejoice always. They'll rejoice when things are good, and they will question God and get demoralized and depressed when things begin to seem like they're going wrong. And buddy, it seemed like it was going very, very wrong. Amen. After that great day of celebration, and from Sunday to Thursday, 4 days later, they've arrested Jesus, lead him away as a lamb dumb before his shears. He opens not his mouth. And now they are not only discouraged, they are displeased with him. And I believe that we can biblically bear out that some of the voices that sang his praises, amen, when he entered into Jerusalem, are the same ones that cried, "Crucify him," when they saw him standing in weakness before Pilate, because he disappointed them. The Jewish zealots wanted someone to overthrow Rome, and they thought this Messiah, when he comes, will overthrow Rome. He was going to do more than just overthrow an immediate temporal earthly empire. He was going to cast down Satan's strongholds and deliver the devil's captives. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad he did more than just change history by overthrowing Rome and establishing the Jewish nation? Aren't you glad he did something that reached down through time, praise God, and set you and me free and everyone who would believe on him free from sin's prison and its punishment? Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done at the cross? Aren't you glad he went to that cross and established this covenant? Hallelujah. Well, listen to this prophecy, past, present, and future. We're talking about Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly. How are you supposed to rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice consistently and greatly. Why? Because great is the Lord, and how is he to be praised? Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I can hear people's thoughts sometimes because we're not used to greatly praising God. Let the world get loud. Let the church be still and know that he is God. Well, if you be still long enough to know that he is God, you're going to want to greatly praise him. Amen. Can you say amen? If you figure it out, if you get it figured out that your immediate circumstance has nothing to do with his eternal purpose except that he's able to subdue it unto that eternal purpose, and that all things, and that means the thing that seems so negative at the moment, God can make that thing bow in your life as you bow in your heart to him and acknowledge him, praise God, and that all things, for we know that all things work together for good. Even the weeping that lasts for a night, you can learn something through that dark night. One of the things you're going to learn is that God is faithful in the darkest of nights. He has not abandoned you, and if you will keep your faith in him, joy is going to come in the morning. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. I'm learning that. That's what gets me through my dark nights. I thought you could come to the place of faith where there are no dark nights. Honey, there is no such place in faith where there's no dark nights. How many have figured that out? It's not because you're not full of faith. It's not because God is unfaithful. It's because you live in a fallen world in a faulty body. How many know this world is fallen? How many know there's an enemy here that hates you, seeks to devour you? How many know there's a Savior that promised to never leave you and never forsake you? Praise God, and told you to be of good cheer even though you're under pressure. Can you say amen? In this world you shall have thefts, tribulation, pressure and anguish. You will have pressure and anguish. There will be things that break your heart. There will be trials and tests that put you under pressure. Can you say amen? But he said be of good cheer. That's kind of like saying rejoice in the Lord when you can't rejoice in your immediate circumstance. Everybody say rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say rejoice. The tougher my immediate circumstance is, the more I need to rejoice that I have a God who said that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know joy's coming. I'm not hopeless because I'm not helpless. Therefore, I rejoice in the darkness of that night. Hallelujah. And the church was broken into, and they called me, and I had assigned angels to watch over that church. And I thought the angels needed to be reprimanded at least. possibly fired and some new ones hired. Honey, angels can do their job, and they do it well. If that church got broke into, my father saw it happening. He had the option of stopping it from happening or the option of keeping them from getting the good stuff and teaching us some lessons. He chose to keep them from getting the good stuff rather than not letting it get broke into. It got broke into, but they didn't get the good stuff because the good stuff was in the balcony. Amen. They took an old monitor that had quit working and started buzzing. We had just let it sit up there, right? Hadn't taken time to throw it out. They stole our trash on that occasion. That particular occasion when I got a call in the wee hours and went to Tampa. I forget what else they took, but it really didn't matter. The good stuff was upstairs. All the good stuff was upstairs and pretty easy, acceptable. But in their haste, they didn't bother to get the good stuff. And I remember on my way just questioning God. I mean, we all question God. Come on, let's be honest. I was just questioning God. I said, Lord, why, you know, this is your house. This is all dedicated to you. Lord, angels are supposed to be outposts around this thing, watching over it. Lord, do you understand where our church is? It's in Sulphur Springs, and it's not like it used to be. Can you say, man, it's a high crime area. We need angels to be double diligent down there. Well, they were double diligent until the night that God wanted to teach us something. How many know God wasn't out to lunch when 9/11 took place? How many know he had the option to stop that hit on a financial institution here in America? They're one of the great representations of capitalism. Amen. There's nothing wrong with capitalism in its place, but when it becomes a god to people, something very wrong. It was a precursor of what's happening globally right now. When y'all were here the last time, a lot of other people did, but I had an unction on a Sunday morning. I said, I'm going to prophesy this, not predict this. There is a financial judgment to come on America. It's here. I didn't realize it wouldn't be just here. It would be global. What happened here is global, and it's here. And there's no easy answer. Even the president of the United States now, our now president, is saying this is going to take time to recover, and it's going to be costly, where there's a price to pay. The unemployment rate is rising at an astronomical rate. They're laying off where I work. They didn't lay me off. Now I want to be laid off, and they don't want to lay me off because they laid off too many people. So I'm just going to have to say bye in just 4 to 6 weeks, about 6 to 7, whatever, whenever all my ducks are in a row. I thought we'd ate them ducks, but they actually survived, and we got them almost in a row. Does that mean you can live well? No, that means I can trust God. No one can live well on Social Security. Everybody say, no one can live well. But you can't eat. Can you say amen? And that's not bad. A little. We'll see. Pamela says, we'll see. Amen. God is so good. I trust him. I trust him. I trust him, and his work is important and vital to me, and I'm ready to do it. So hang in here with us, and let's see what the Lord will do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rejoice greatly. I just want to stop there for a minute and just pause on that. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. And then he goes on to tell us to do something that is really has been relegated only to over-emotional Pentecostals. Rejoice greatly, Zechariah 9, verse 9, O daughter of Zion, which literally would translate in the New Covenant to Jerusalem itself and to the people of God, which include us now. Everybody say that includes us now. We're Abraham's seed by faith. Amen. That means everything concerning Zion, everything concerning Jerusalem, everything concerning Abraham's seed. Amen. That involves you and me at this point. And shout. Rejoice greatly and shout. Everybody say, rejoice greatly and shout. Now that means to cry aloud, to shout for joy. Amen. It doesn't mean just to run the aisle necessarily or jump up and down or do some demonstrative thing. But it does mean to make a vocal praise unto God and to shout unto God. Can you say amen? And to shout for what? For joy. Rejoice greatly and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt of the foal of an ass. Now listen very carefully. This was written 500 years before Palm Sunday. Isn't that incredible? This prophecy was written 500. This is Palm Sunday past. Prophetically, it was written. Everybody say 500 years before Palm Sunday. That's a long time. And yet, God watches over His Word to perform. Amen. If you've claimed the Word of God and you've been waiting for 6 months and you're just about exasperated, think how long they waited. You say, but Brother Venable, I don't know how long I can wait. Well, why don't you wait as long as it takes? Can you say amen? Let me ask you a question. Is what you're praying for worth waiting for? Amen? Is it worth waiting for? Is it really worth waiting for? Then don't give up and don't get discouraged. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord, what's going to happen? They'll renew their strength. That means to minister unto the Lord in that interim, to minister. How do you minister unto Him? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're waiting on a breakthrough somewhere, start shouting victory before it happens. That's how walls come down, not after they come down. It don't take any faith at all to shout after God, amen, visibly does something. But it takes faith and obedience to shout before the fact. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, we need to learn how to rejoice and shout before the fact so walls can come down. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise is the language of faith. When faith talks, praise is always involved. In everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Not just pathetic praying, petitioning as if we're hopeless and we don't know if God will help us or not. And oh God, no. With thanksgiving, can you say, I don't care how vitally important the need is, thank Him that you have the privilege through the blood of Jesus to approach His throne and have an audience with Him. Can you say amen? And thank Him that He is faithful. Can you say amen? And thank Him that He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. That means in His timing, God is going to move. Hallelujah. Woo! That's the joy of rejoicing. Got a lot to get through in a short amount of time. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. Praise God. But it all begins. It all begins. When a lowly king sits on a donkey and rides into Jerusalem to give himself into the hands of his enemies and to die on a cross for you and for me. Can you say amen? When Jesus entered Jerusalem publicly for the last time, he did it in a way that very consciously fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. He sends two of his disciples to get a young donkey to ride on. And Matthew tells us very plainly, listen, in Matthew 21:4-5, you don't have to turn there, just mark it down. This took place to fulfill what was spoken 500 years. And Jesus says, if I'm going into Jerusalem to begin this last week of my passion, go and get me a donkey. That it might be what? He watches over his word to what? Fulfill it. And to perform it. This took place to fulfill that which was spoken by the prophet. Then he quotes Zechariah 9:9. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on an ass, even the colt of a foal of an ass. One other gospel writer tells us this was a fulfillment of prophecy, namely John in John 12:15. Listen to it. He quotes part of Zechariah 9:9. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Let's read the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew 21 in the New Covenant, if you will. when Jesus began to fulfill this prophecy on this day that we celebrate Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 1. Are you interested in this today? And when they drew, maybe this will help us to understand how rejoicing always fits in to our faith and our life, even in the tough places and the tough times when we don't understand. Because God has spoken. The King has been given. Our future is sure. Weeping lasts but for a night. But our future is sure. What comes in the morning? Are you expecting joy? Are you expecting the worst? Amen? Some people look like that they're going through something, they're expecting the worst. I'm not expecting the worst. I'm expecting God to do something, to train me, to teach me, amen, to bring me through. And some people feel like they've been singled out because they see so many preachers implying that you can manipulate your condition, your conditions of your life with your great faith. Honey, they can't do that. They're telling you that on TV. They live a personal and private life behind the camera. And I'm going to tell you what they experience in their personal and private life. You know what they experience? Tribulation. All those that live godly will suffer persecution. There is no exception. No one comes to a place of such hyper, super faith that they can just speak everything to be okay every single day. Can you say amen? Every one of those people know what weeping is and know what it is to have a broken heart. And the ones who are honest and forthright, amen, they will tell you about those times and you'll be strengthened by it. Because you'll see that Christian victory is not never having problems but having God no matter what your problems are. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read this quickly out of Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come unto Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught to you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send. Finds out that God has a purpose for it. He's going to let them go. Can you say amen? There's so many things in our life that when we find out God's purpose, we can let go. Can you? You didn't hear me. I mean, missionaries would never, ever, ever turn loose of their careers, their homes, their comfortable lifestyles to go and put themselves in harm's way and many times experience deprivation in foreign lands to tell people about Jesus, except they didn't see that the Master has the need of that happening. Can you say amen? And when they find out God has an eternal purpose, it's so easy for them to let things go. Amen? Amen? All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. How many years before? 500. What was his name? Hallelujah. Amen. A plus for everybody. Saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. They took their robes, put it over that, and let him sit upon it. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees, namely palm trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Bible tells us in other places that the children cried so loud that the disciples tried to silence them. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, he's able to raise up the stones to give praise unto God. There's a time to just cut loose and praise God. Everybody say, there are times appointed of God himself. Not because of our emotionalism, but because of the joy of getting a hold of what all of this represents. Whom having not seen you love with a religious kind of ho-hum joy. Is that what the Bible says? No, whom having not seen you love with joy, and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. What happens when it becomes joy unspeakable? God gives you the Holy Ghost for another reason, amen, that you may not have thought of. It's to be able to express things in your heart that you can't mentally and give verbiage to. You can't vocally say all that you feel in your heart, and God has given you a tongue to say it with. Amen. How do you know when Paul sang to God, he said, I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is going to give you a language to praise God in that will express deep things in your heart that you can't find the words for. Why? Because this joy is unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Some people don't even know the speakable joy. Unless you were on Monty Hall and got a Maytag washer and dryer. Or you got that new sports car. I've seen men become emotional. Can you imagine men becoming emotional? Amen? Can you imagine that? I've seen men say, woo! Have you ever seen them at a football game? Oh, yeah. Become emotional. Men say, I'm not emotional like my wife. What were you doing at the Bucks game when they finally got the touchdown? Amen? Amen? It's dangerous to be around some people when they get that joyful. Amen? Jumping up and down and hollering and carrying on over a football game, emotionalism. I wish they would just calm down so I can hear the announcer. Can you imagine saying that at one of the great sports events? Nobody says that. Everybody joins in. Why? Because it's appropriate. Amen. If your team is winning, it's a time to rejoice. Well, our team is not just winning, darling. Our team has already won. Hallelujah. Amen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. A king is, did he come? Did he come on Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago? Did he come? Did he ride into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass? Did he go to the cross? Did he rise again? Are we going to celebrate this thing when we get to heaven? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. I'm not just being apologetic for being a Pentecostal. I'm telling you that what I'm doing is biblical. There was a time when Baptists shouted. They call them the shouting Baptist. The Methodists used to get happy. D.L. Moody told people that did like Zacchaeus when he had an outdoor meeting after Moody Bible Institute burned down, and they told him, said, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I'm not a fundraiser, I'm a preacher. Oh, I wish every preacher would understand. Amen. If we'll preach the gospel, God knows what he wants to build. Hallelujah. Our job is to proclaim Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yes, it takes funds. But D.L. Moody locked himself away in prayer. He said, something happened while I was locked away in prayer. His own words. He said, the hand of the Lord came on me so strongly. Do anybody understand that? He said that I had to tell the Lord to stay your hand lest I die. He couldn't hardly breathe. His heart was thumping. The power of God was all over him. He said, after I came out of that, I preached the same message of Jesus and him crucified and salvation. I preached that same message, but people began to come. Amen. People began to come. And he said that there was people that would climb up onto a bleacher or up into a tree or some high thing to get a view because of the crowd when he preached outdoors. And he told them, get down from there. And the reason he told them to get down, he's afraid that the power of God, as it began to move over that audience, amen, that they would fall out of that tree. How many know if you're on a tree limb and you come under the power of God and fall and there's nobody to catch you? This is D.L. Moody. Not a Pentecostal guy. Hello? But he knew the power of God had come on him. The power of God was coming on them when he preached. Everybody say the power of God. We don't need to suppress this thing. Listen, this is a time of celebration. If you want everything just to be this, you know, you can just be like this at church. you're going to find it. You better get you some good earplugs. You better get something to drown it out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You couldn't have even helped see the walls of Jericho fall. Because when it said, shout, for God has given you the city, you'd have said, glory. That's not what they did. I looked up the word shout in the Hebrew. You know what it means? To give an ear-piercing sound. Yes, it's loud. Yes, it's loud. There's an occasion to be loud. Amen. On the great day of the great feast, amen, Jesus stood up and with a loud voice said, ho, he that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Hallelujah. Oh, when he comes, it's going to get loud too. Can you say amen? The Lord himself shall descend to heaven from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Going to be so loud it's going to wake up the dead. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So if you've got a problem with noise, you've got a problem with praise. You've got a problem with celebrating God. You've got a problem with being so self-conscious of what somebody might think of you if you really gave him what is due him. Amen. That you're not thinking about him. You know why people are self-conscious? Because you're thinking about what people are going to think of you instead of what you should be thinking about him. Sometimes I shout, I don't want to ever see a video of me shouting. Because that'll make me self-conscious. And when I'm shouting, I'm not aware of me. I'm so aware of him, I can't contain the joy. And people like to be in a church where there's a little bit of fire. There's one church where there's never any Holy Ghost fire. And preacher he was kind of a tall man. You can tell he's much taller than me. He got his belt buckle caught when he started around the pulpit to make a point, which he hardly ever did move from behind the pulpit. He got his belt buckle caught in the corner of the podium. Well, when he did, he started around the corner and he says, and I want to tell you this morning, he got a little bit excited, which is very rare too. But anyway, he got his belt buckle caught on the corner. This was a true story related by a minister that was there. He said he got his belt buckle caught on the corner. And when he did, he said, and I want to tell you that God really loves you. And everybody said, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wasn't the power of God? If he hadn't got his belt buckle caught, he would have been the same old, drawn-on, mediocre, monotone preacher that got a little touch of Pentecost because his belt buckle got caught on the podium. They've probably been stifling all that praise. You can't teach all these great things without having to stifle it. You got to hold it back. Amen. God pull it out of you through his word. Can you say amen? What did he say to do? Rejoice, daughter of Jerusalem. A king has come unto you. And he's a humble king, humble enough to go to the cross and die for you that you might be saved. Be exceedingly glad. Verse 10 said, and when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. In Matthew 21:14, I'm just going to jump to it. And the blind and the lame came to him. He went in and cleansed the temple. Can you say, man? And then he started healing the sick. There's something correlated here. I just don't want to skip over this. There's something with cleansing the temple and restoring the power of God to the covenant people. Can you say, man, getting the money changers out of the temple? Seem like we need to change our message from money to miracles. And from material to Jesus and eternity. Don't you think my God knows what you have need of? Bible said if his kingdom becomes preeminent, he'll take care of all the things you need in the material world. What happened after he cleansed the temple and got rid of the money changers? What happened? What is the next thing? Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in that same temple that they had turned into a den of thieves. But what is it now? They came to him in the temple and he healed them. Woo! I said he healed them. I believe God's in the process of cleansing his temple so he can restore, amen, healing and deliverance to his people. But Jesus is going to have to be what's preached from the pulpit. And not money. And fortune. And fame, and the material world. Oh, but what about my material needs? I'm glad you asked. Seek the kingdom first. Your Father knows what you have. Don't even take any thought. So that means you've got to get rid of all those tapes you spend all that money on to put gas in that jet plane. On how to get stuff from God. You don't need to get stuff from God. You need to seek the kingdom first. And He'll add the stuff you need. Hello? And what he said, take you no thought what you eat, drink, or be clothed with. Put the kingdom first. Put your energies in that. Your Father knows what you have need of. Amen? Amen? Is that what Jesus taught? Some people are so indoctrinated by somebody on television, they conflict with what Jesus said, and they go with them. I thought Jesus was Lord. I thought God's word was to be true in every man. Oh, but you don't mean so-and-so. Oh, yes, I do. Paul said, if you get a letter from anybody, even from us, and it says something different than what has already been established, don't receive it. Even though there's a healing ministry going on. If it isn't biblical and it isn't scriptural, you do not receive the person. Hello? Hello? Actually, God said, I'll test my people to see if they really got a heart for truth. In the old covenant, you know what he told them? He said, if a prophet come along and prophesy something and it come to pass, but it conflict with my established word, he said, I will test you to see whether you'll stand on my truth or not. The reason false prophets flourish is because false Christians follow them. How do you know they're false Christians? Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Can you say, man, I want to be one of his sheep. I don't want to identify with no great preacher, but a great shepherd king. Can you say, man? Somebody give him praise today. When people say, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, Paul said, you are acting like unregenerate men. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. Can you say amen? Isn't God good today? There are people who spent their whole life investing sums of money that they couldn't afford into how to get stuff, and they died without the stuff. People I know personally, what a tragedy and what a travesty. Amen? To take a message that's so glorious and bring it down into the material world and sell it on the marketplace like any other marketable item. This is the blood of Jesus, and it's not worthy to be compared with the choices of silver or of gold. It's without price. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You are not redeemed with corruptible things after the tradition of your fathers like silver or gold. That's not what ransomed you. Can you say amen? But it is the precious blood of a lamb. That's why this lowly king riding on that donkey to go to that cross. Amen. If he came in on a white horse, proud and arrogant, amen, he would have never submitted to the cross. But he came in lowly and meek so that he might lay down his life for you and for me. Rejoice, O daughter of Jerusalem. Be exceedingly glad and shout for joy. For your king has come to you. And he's not just come to you to rule you. He's come to you to die in your place. Isn't that incredible? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not mine, but thine for? And not just an earthly king, but the king of the universe. King of kings and Lord of lords dying on the cross for me. I don't have to worry about clothing and food and shelter. I'm too busy rejoicing in my great king. My Father has always taken care of those things. Somebody give him praise in this place. Don't patty cake. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to do things exceedingly. Glory. Become excessive and lavish. When you break the alabaster box, pour it all on him. Woo! Get rid of the Brill Cream attitude in church. A little dab will do you. Can you say, man? Most Christians are satisfied with a little dab will do you. In fact, they're out of church right now. Palm Sunday's come and went. Amen. They're getting ready to chow down and hunt some of them little yellow marshmallow thingies. What are they? Peeps. Yeah, I knew y'all knew what they were. I had a word of knowledge. I said, if I say little yellow marshmallow thingies, they're going to say peeps. She ate the whole box the other day. But they're marshmallow. They can't have calories in them. They're too light. They're too light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the blind came to him and the lame in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Leave it up to organized religion to get bent out of shape when God begins to move and bless his people. Amen? And he knew it, and he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, you have never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Isn't that incredible? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. It's real easy when you become adult to put forth a persona that is not real. Kids are not that good at it. They're not good at playing those kind of games. That's adult games. I remember the story of a lady. The house had been for sale for months, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and out in the front yard, they were doing yard work, planting some perennials or whatever, spring of the year, and she was out there in a pair of old dirty jeans, and it had mud on where she'd been watering and with her kids, and she had and her husband, they're out working in the front yard, all working together, and she had mud on her knees, and she had on her husband's old t-shirt over a pair of old overalls, and they were baggy, you know, hanging down, and she rolled up the cuffs on them and put on an old t-shirt so that she wouldn't, and you know, she didn't have on any makeup. How many's ever not put on makeup? How many's ever seen yourself without it? How many know you? If you have time to do it, you do look a little better. I get bedhead, you know, when I get up in the morning, it's scary. I have to wet it and try to get it to lay back down. It goes in different ways. It's spooky. It honestly is spooky. Especially, you know, since I use some hairspray to hold it, I have fine hair. A lady one time was cutting my hair and says, you have fine hair. And I said, yeah, I thought it was, you know, fine. What she meant was it was thin. But anyway, I took it as fine. I'm a very positive man. But anyway, so I spray it down. But that hairspray, you lay on the pillow one way and the hair goes up like that. It stays like that in the morning. You get up and you got hair sticking up like a sailboat or something over here. But anyway, I have to wet it back down and get it organized, amen, before I go to the door. This lady was out there with her hair all frizzed out, you know, and no makeup on, of course. And she's an attractive lady. Ladies are attractive without makeup, but, you know, it doesn't hurt. But anyway, she had the, you know, she was down there in the dirt digging, and a big U-Haul it pulled in, and then here came a Mercedes right behind the new U-Haul it. It was a U-Haul it. It was a nice new home, and somebody had bought it, you know, and they were moving in, and they all jumped out, and first thing they did is come over and greet the neighbors. And oh, she was just, oh my, I'm not ready to see anybody. I'm not ready for company. I'm not ready to, you know, present myself. And they come over, and they shook her hand and everything in the husband's hand and said, listen, we want to celebrate, you know, being able to buy this home. We're so glad to be in this neighborhood. We finally found a home and got the financing right. And we're going to have a cookout next Saturday, and we want to invite you right now to come and get to know one another. That was the new neighbor. And to the welcome wagon, they were being their own welcome wagon. So the lady was so embarrassed. Saturday rolled around, and she's in. And the first thing she's doing, she got her hair done on Friday afternoon, got it all fixed up really nice. And she was sitting at her makeup mirror, and she had put on her best pantsuit, put on a pair of shoes that went with her pantsuit and coordinated. She was putting on some eyelashes, you know, that came out beyond hers because she had little bitty, even with mascaras, they were little tiny. She's putting on the big ones, you know, like Tammy Baker eyelashes. I mean, bless her heart, she's with the Lord. But you remember Tammy Baker's eyelashes, you know. Birds used to come and try to, no, they didn't, no. They were big. She could have sold a lot of Maybelline. Amen. But anyway, remember that? And she's putting on this cherry red lipstick from Revlon, and she had her nails done and her toenails. Isn't it incredible? She had toenails done, had her fingernails done. And in fact, it wasn't her fingernails at all. Amen. She knew she was going to be digging in the dirt. But anyway, she had the new fingernails on. They were just perfect. Amen. And now she looks at herself and she says, well, I think I'm ready now. I want them to see the real me. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, praise is perfected. Why? Because we're not playing the game. Some of you in here are afraid for anybody to see the real you. So you show them another you on Sunday and everybody assumes everything's great. Kids are not that good at it. If they're mad at you, you know it. They don't try to hide it, do they? We hide it. God bless you, brother. Come here. Let me hug you. No, they don't play those games. Jesus said, you hear what these kids are saying? Hosanna. Hosanna. Praising. Praise is more perfect out of their mouth than it is in the religious leaders who ought to have it down by now. You've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't play the church game and put it over on God. Can you say, man, I came here with a praise in my heart for the Lord. I don't know how it comes out and how it's going to come out, but I know it's real and He knows it's real. Yeah. And no matter how people judge me about my singing or my emotionalism or what I may or may not do, I want to get beside myself at some point in the service where I'm not interested in what people think of me. It's me focusing on Him. That's why I always liked Nancy Harmon's choir. You remember Nancy Harmon? Because when they sang, I'm not going to give them better singing abilities as far as quality and tone of voice and composition than some other great choirs, like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir that hits everything just right and blends all those altos and sopranos and everything blends just perfectly. But when they sang, they got beside themselves. They closed their eyes. They lifted their hearts and hands to Him and to heaven. And watching them worship was better than listening to them sing. Amen. Actually, they were better to look at than to listen to. And not that listening to them wasn't bad, but when you saw them. Have you ever seen a choir singing a song that is talking about such joyful things with not one person expressing joy? You ever seen that? And you're saying, what's wrong with this picture? You know? A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. I can't sing bass. I'd have to sing baritone. But anyway, he just fired me from the choir. Said, excellent. A mighty fortress is our God. Even some of the writers knew that people had a tendency to sing it without feeling. What is the word? Is it fortissimo? Is that one of the musical terms? Anyway, some of these songs up above it, these hymns, it said to be sung with feeling. What is it? Prestissimo. I like that. Prestissimo! Can you imagine singing the hallelujah chorus? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For our Lord, our God, omnipotent reigneth. I like it like that. That's not a way you sing the hallelujah chorus. Even the Queen Victoria stood. Mrs. Obama touched the Queen. It made news all over the place. The Queen posed for a picture, put her hand on her. That's okay. But when you put your hand on the Queen, that's not protocol. That's not okay. It wasn't okay for Queen Victoria to stand up and express emotion during the hallelujah chorus. Everyone else could, but the Queen was supposed to keep her composure. That is protocol. But when they started singing about this great, mighty King Jesus, amen, and when they got to the point that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, she grasped it. She got it. Can you say, man, this is not just a performance. This is a proclamation. That is true about Jesus, and she stood to honor Him, not the singers, Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! And it made news. Queen Victoria stood up when they came to that part of the Hallelujah chorus. And she should have stood up and honored him. We want our church services cut, dried, controlled. God wants to move by His Spirit. Can you say amen? And He wants His people to be genuine instead of disingenuous. He wants us to be genuine, true worshipers for a change. Hallelujah. Palm Sunday is a time for celebration. He's not a Nero who fiddles while Rome burns. He's not a Marcos who lives in lavish luxury while his land languishes in poverty. He's not an Ayatollah who shames his citizens. He's the kind of king that will make the daughter of Jerusalem and the offspring of Zion leap for joy. Children will sing Hosanna. By the way, what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna, literally translated, it's Latin and then translated back to the Greek from the Latin, and it becomes a word, and it means Lord help us, or the Lord our help. It means our help is here when Jesus came on the scene. Everybody say, our help is here. When Jesus comes on the scene. Say it again. Our help is here. When Jesus comes on the scene. Can you say amen? This king is coming to be your deliverer. Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The lepers are cleansed. The poor have the good news preached to them. Zechariah commands the daughter of Jerusalem to shout for joy. Because the king is coming. So he must be the kind of king that makes people happy and sets them free. Can you say amen? The joy level in many Christians' lives. I used to tell congregations on Sunday morning, so I'm obligated to tell you. You're still part of the congregation, the ongoing congregation. Most of us need an oil change. What happened to your car when it don't get an oil change? What happens to the oil that's been sitting in there over and over, heating up over and over? It loses its viscosity. You know what that means? That means it's not lubricating the pistons and the moving parts of the engine anymore. That means your car now is rubbing metal on metal without the proper lubrication. Hello? And boy, there's a lot of Christians. You can just hear it grating. They come in like an old car. It needs an oil change. Smoke coming. Well, I won't go there. Can you say amen? Actually, smoke comes out the other place. Amen? How are you today? It's a challenge to get somebody to shout for joy about these eternally wonderful, powerful things. Amen? Amen? What kind of oil change? He will give you the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. If you're depressed, you need an oil change. All you need is oil change. You say, but you don't know my circumstance. No, but I do know your God. You didn't hear me. It's not about your circumstance. It's about your God. He said, there's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing impossible with me. My grace is sufficient for thee. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I know something about your God. Weeping lasts and endureth but for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. Don't wait for morning to give him the praise. You know it's coming. Can you say amen? Oh, give him a clap offering before we close this service today. Woo! Why is it frightening and fearful that this king is coming? Because he's righteous. He's lowly. He's riding on a donkey. His mission is to make peace, not make war this time. When he comes again to this earth, not for his church, but to this earth, he's coming to make war. He's coming on a white horse. His hair is as wool. He's the judge. All judgment's been committed to him. His eyes are a burning fire when he comes back to this earth again. Can you say, man, fiery indignation, not Superman X-ray vision looking into the heart. He already has that, knows that. Now he's coming to judge, not to save. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The Bible said the strong men and the weak men and the great men and the small men and the bond and the free, amen, they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains when they see his face. The face that we long to see, the eyes we long to look into, when they meet him as judge, not as savior. Not as shepherd king, but as judge. The Bible said they're going to ask for the rocks. They're going to ask for those mountains in West Virginia to fall on them. Let the whole mountain fall. Let something cover me. From what? What could be so awful you want a rock to fall on you, kill you, just so you can be covered from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? I watch people get exposed to the gospel over and over and over again, choose sin over salvation. Constantly sin over salvation. Sin over salvation. Come here and pray. Walk out that door. They didn't get saved, by the way, and walk out and go back. Because if you get saved, amen, his seed remains in you that you sin not. You struggle with sin, but you don't choose it over salvation. Can you say amen? I said you don't choose it over salvation. You may fall and have to get back up and be restored, but you don't keep over and over and over. He that committeth sin, which means live habitually in, continue in without conviction or repentance, is of the devil. Make no mistake about it. You can't claim God and live that way. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that when he came into your life, he made a difference? Aren't you glad that you've got a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Aren't you glad you've got a promise that you're going to be filled? Yes. Hallelujah. 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 I made up my mind when I first became a Christian, the world isn't going to out-celebrate me about earthly things. Amen? So we come into church services and we expect the preacher. In fact, we like to be in services where the preacher gets excited. It's pretty boring if somebody don't get excited. Amen? God's waiting on you to get excited about what you've been told and what you know. Because it's your enthusiasm, excitement, and passion that is so convincing to others. Not just the fact that it is true, but it's true in you. It's authentic in you. It's happening in you. Whom having not seen you love, how do you love him? With joy unspeakable. How do you express joy unspeakable? And be monotone and mediocre. Is that how you express joy unspeakable? No. See, everybody in here needs reviving then. We need revival, folks. If we dwell on CNN, we dwell on our family circumstances, we dwell on our job situations, we dwell on the things that are happening globally. You know what Jesus said? When you see these things begin to come to pass, I don't want your joy to go and your peace to be interrupted. I want you to look up and get a spirit of holy expectancy. Your redemption draweth now. Is the world money system coming out of the chaos of this? Could it come very soon? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it in discussion among global leaders? Yes, it is. Can you say amen? Is there time coming that you don't buy or sell anywhere in this world without a mark? Can you say amen? Is a world money system coming? Yes, it is. Will it come out of a global economic collapse that allows it to come? Will it look like a positive thing that's going to get the world economics back on track? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. How did the Iron Curtain come down? Economics. What is caused great America in its revelry to bow, in its drunkenness and surfeiting to begin to bow? What is going to bring this nation to its knees? Economic collapse. Period. Are we near that? Are we experiencing the beginnings, the forerunner, the precursors? Should there be a cry for revival of repentance in America so that God can turn us around? I don't want to hear another money message when we're in the middle of a financial collapse. I want to hear about a restoring God, can you say, man? And a mighty authentic revival. Somebody give him praise today. This is no time to go after gold and apparel. This is a time to go after God and the anointing. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. You say, Brother, but I'm not emotional. Yes, you are. Somebody makes you mad, you can go all afternoon. All afternoon. And if that isn't enough, you can get on the phone and keep right on going with it. Can you say amen? So don't tell me, but I'm not the emotional type. No, you're emotional over what you want to be emotional over. And besides, we're not just wanting emotion anyway. We're wanting something from the heart. It'll affect your emotions. Serve the Lord with gladness. But gladness is the emotion. But joy is what produces it. Somebody say joy produces it. Hallelujah. I'm going to cut to the chase because time is fleeting here. Let's go from that time of great rejoicing, when at the appropriate time, Jesus said the rocks will cry out if people don't praise God at the appointed time. And there's no praise at all. He will have praise. He's the creator and his creation will praise him. He will even give the rocks ability. And if God can give the rock ability to sing praises to him, if we don't, when it's time to praise him, appropriate time, if we don't, he said he's able to make the rocks cry out. If God can make the rocks cry out, there's hope for some of us. Can you say amen? I honestly believe if God can make a rock cry out, if you pray that you can get a grateful, joyous heart and get out of your self-consciousness. If I was self-conscious, I'd never preach again. Because everybody in the building is looking at me, listening to me, watching me. Amen? I was down here beside this pulpit kissing this old cross last Sunday. There are people who say, what in the world is he doing down there smooching on that cross? I don't know. When I embraced that cross last Sunday, I felt his presence. I couldn't kiss him, but I could kiss something that represented where he loved me the most. Can you say amen and why I love him back the most? And I'm not asking anybody in the world to ever go over here and kiss that old piece of wood, but I felt like I was just last Sunday in that manifestation of his presence on me. I was laying down there crying and kissing that cross because I felt like if I could kiss his feet while he was hanging on that cross for me and let him know, I appreciate what you're doing for me with all that I am, with my body, my soul, my strength, my song, my praise, my preaching. My passion is for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. I hope you never get ashamed of me for getting passionate about Jesus. Praise God. If they don't like it, amen, there's plenty of churches where people are dispassionate about Jesus. Talking about the same Jesus, reading from the same Bible, dispassionately. Whom having not seen you love with? Everybody say passion. Great, that's about great love. God is great and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek thee. Hallelujah. Could go on and on. Turn with me to the last, the Palm Sunday celebration to come in the book of Revelation. Last scripture today. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Look at it together. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Part of my counseling is to get people under the Word of God long enough for the Word of God to get in them. People are not willing to do that. I have no answers. Part of my counseling is getting people to pray until their heart melt before the Lord so that He can not just change other people in their life, but He can change them. Most people don't like to hear that. Most people want everybody else to change. Because if everybody else would change, everything would be great. Amen? Well, that is saying, I don't need change at all. It's all him. It's all her. And I found out everybody's looking for some way to escape accountability and responsibility. If they would just be perfect to me, I wouldn't be so mean to them. My mean is because of them. Lady fighting some psychological problems, went to her analyst, and he wanted to know how she was doing on her new medication. He said, "Did you wake up grumpy this morning?" She said, "No, I just let him sleep." Lady walks into psychiatrist's office. Been waiting a long time, said it's an emergency. I must see the doctor. I don't have an appointment, but this is an emergency. The nurse worked her in. When she came in and sat down, she had two fried eggs on her head, two strips of bacon hanging from her ears. She said, "Doctor, I've got to talk to you about my husband." You'll have to assimilate that when you get home. Don't you get it? If she's got the egg on her head and the bacon in her ears, maybe it isn't her husband that is the problem. Maybe she's got some issues. It's so easy to see other people's faults with the scrambled eggs on our head and bacon hanging from our ears. Can you say amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be great if everybody learned to love the Lord and get in altars again? Come to the foot of the cross and let Jesus be the Lord of their life? Wouldn't it be great how many problems and issues could be solved? Because the real stuff comes out of babes and sucklings, where there's no pretense and no put on, where the real us is the real us. You know what most people's answer would be if I ask you, "How are you doing?" It's a single word and everybody uses it. Everybody at work is depressed, but everybody's fine. Isn't that incredible? Everybody's depressed. We all know it. But everybody's fine. They're just fine. "How are you today?" "Fine. How are you today?" "I'm fine." I like the honesty of the woman that on the way out of church, pastor asked her, "How are you, sister Doodledoffer," or whatever her name was. "How are you?" She said, "I'm somewhere between praise the Lord and help me Jesus." I think that's a pretty good answer. Can you say most of us are somewhere between praise the Lord and help me Jesus? Somewhere between those two is probably where the most of our Christian life is lived. But that's okay, because Jesus is there to help us. And he does deserve our praise all the time. Somebody give him praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? And then Holy Communion. And Sean is working this morning. He will be here tonight with an anointing on him. I will rest. Pretty soon I'll come and listen to Sean preach. Just kick back my heels and holler amen. Listen to this. The book of Revelation pictures the final fulfillment of Palm Sunday in the age to come, because this prophecy went past Jesus' triumphal entrance to Jerusalem and Passion Week. It goes into the holy, eternal presence of God and our presence with him. Listen to what this says. Are you there yet? Revelation 7, 9, and 10. Are you getting a handle on this great prophecy that Palm Sunday fulfilled and that it continues on? Here's where it's consummated, because of what Jesus did that began on Palm Sunday over 2,000 years ago. "I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues." Everybody say, "That's the redeemed." That's the redeemed. Say it with me again. "That's the redeemed." How many believe that he saw us? If this is the redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. How many believe we are here? How many believe if he had walked through the crowd of that multitude that no man could number, and he started, took a photograph of you and kept looking, he'd find you there? How many are saved in this room? How many want to be in that? Ever heard the song, "When the saints go marching"? I want to be in what? I want to be in that number. Well, this is that number. Can you say amen? Your preacher's going to be there. If you want to know what I'm going to be doing and you're going to be doing, let's read on. Are you ready? "And I behold a great multitude which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand." Everybody say, "Oh, see, if I could have stopped by a florist where they had trimmed some palm trees up real nice and got the leavings and brought it in this morning, I'd give every one of you one." Amen. How many believe you could do like that with one of those? Unto the Lord. How many believe you got it in you to take a palm frond and do like that one time? It might be a new experience for you. How many has ever waved an American flag like that? Amen. If you can wave an American flag like that, and I have, you can wave a palm frond. Can you say amen? Can you? How many has ever? Well, I won't ask you that. That's for another time. I won't even go there. I just refuse to go there. Listen to this. With palm branches in their hands and crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. That's just like what they were crying, Lord, save. Lord, the Lord saves. The Lord help us and the Lord saves. Can you say amen? They're crying, Hosanna, in the presence of God. And they're demonstrative. And God has provided them with that symbol of peace, grace, the palm. Hallelujah. And we are there, praising God throughout all eternity because He saved us. Salvation is of the Lord. And we need to rejoice in it every day of our life because if people saw the saved celebrate salvation and the Savior, our testimony would absolutely be magnified and multiplied to them. They need to see the joy of salvation in the saved again. That marks true revival in the church. Those Korean Christians, you know the songs they sing, they're simplistic. They're not complicated songs. They're just celebrating salvation. And they have such an infectious testimony, it's touching the whole nation. We go to church and watch a praise team and walk out with all our pressures and problems and interact with society without the joy of Jesus in our hearts, and it becomes evident. We got a bumper sticker back there somewhere that says, Christ is the answer. We got a countenance that says, it's not authentic. It's not real. I'm not dealing with pressure any better than anyone else. I'm not dealing with my personal problems better than anyone else. They're sad, I'm sad. They're depressed, I'm depressed. They're edgy, I'm edgy. They're short-tempered, I'm short-tempered. Can you say amen? They're under the gun, I'm under the gun. We're all in the same boat. No, we're not. God wants to get us out of that boat. Amen. How are we to rejoice, O daughter of Zion, because the King has come and done what He purposed to do? With exceeding great joy. Hallelujah. We'll give you a chance to do that in just a minute. Right now, we want to receive Holy Communion. Sister, would you serve us? I want to read something to you while you're being served. Today, the maker of the universe enters Jerusalem. He's seated not on a white stallion with 100,000 strong army to escort him like the king of Babylon. He's seated on a young ass, the lowest of creatures. He's escorted by street children. He's the king of Jerusalem. For he's not the king of Babylon, the king of war and power and pride and riches. He's the king of Jerusalem. He's the king of peace. And this is only right, for the name Jerusalem means city of peace. Christ alone is the king of peace, the prince of peace. Therefore, he is their rightful king. Children greet him with palms and symbols of victory, and they cry, Hosanna, meaning save, we pray. Their cry and their deed are greater than they know, for in their innocence, they speak and do truth, for Christ alone saves us. If we pray to Him, and the palm branches are indeed tokens of victory, for victory comes through the tree of the cross. This is not just a historic event, but an event that can be repeated at every communion. For whenever we seek peace and humility, as innocent children crying, save, we pray, Christ enters our souls and makes our heart a Jerusalem within us. We experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That isn't happening. We're falling into the same mold of the world out there. And God would sure like to separate His people. And do it because they see us rejoicing in the time of great trouble and pressure. Because we have a God. Our King has come. Amen. Would you let that first song just begin and we'll fade it out for communion.